All right, welcome back to the OatHealth.com Heart Health Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined this afternoon by Joe. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us for episode number 3, May 21, 2009. For show notes, research, support material, and today's episode, please visit OatHealth.com/blog/podcast. In today's episode, we're going to review a main topic, continuing our discussion about food processing. And we will want to actually look at the positive and negative consequences of producing food at the lowest possible cost. We'll review the benefits as well as what we're trading off when food is produced at the cheapest prices to achieve the greatest accessibility. That sounds ridiculous or boring. Yes, again, knowing how food is produced can actually help you make better health choices while doing less work. And you can stop compartmentalizing price from value. We'll get into that further. In our research, we're going to actually get into a discussion that the American Heart Association had at their annual science meeting in New Orleans called After Decades, Decreases in Heart Risk Factors Level Off. So what about the research, Joe?
Yeah, so we're going to look at some research that was done that, you know, we have had some trends where it seems that heart disease is taking some decline as far as our progression, and especially like things like cholesterol and some of the advances we've made. So we're going to cover some of that, but it seems like there's some factors involved that are making that level off and slow down a little bit, so we're going to cover that today.
Yeah, it'd be interesting what they had there. So in the news section, we'll actually review a 2009 article from the Hort Science called Industrial Farming is Giving Us Less Nutritious Food.
Yeah, and what we're seeing is that just at this, once again, even covering the main topic today, this is going to go into that a little bit, and just the real drive here is to get cheaper food. But at the end of the day, is it costing us something?
Right, so that's great. Let's get started with episode number 3. All right, so we're back, and the recent news today reviews the 2009 article from the Hort Science called Industrial Farming is Giving Us Less Nutritious Food. So I'm really curious about this. What popped up here in the news this week?
Yeah, so this is something I just found yesterday, and just getting ready for this podcast and talking about making food cheaper. One of the ways we can do that is the farming methods that we have. We can get more yield per acre. We can get more food out of the ground that we plant to. And by doing that, we can bring down the price of food. But in doing that, are we changing food? Is it becoming less nutritious? That's what this article really looked at. Declining fruit and vegetable nutrient composition is what they're really looking at here from Donald Davis, the University of Texas. I found this through the Organic Consumer RSS feed. We know we talked about that before in the first podcast.
Yeah, right.
Using these RSS feeds, they kind of get you the news in ways it's able to find all the ones you want. And then this brought you to Mother Earth News, which talked about this article. And real just significant stuff for me looking at, you know, when we talk about nutrition and talk about it affecting our health, we want to know the big pie. We want to know the full picture,
right,
and understand what are all the things that are involved here. So,
okay.
You know, farming is where it starts. This is where we get our food from. So we want to understand how this works. And so what they found was, you know, changes in the farming methods today has decreased the amount of nutrients in food. That's what this study had found, and they give three reasons really for why that's happening.
Okay.
First one is really the dilution effect. That means that, you know, we're growing these we're getting more yield out of the land, but in doing so, it seems like we're getting less nutrients. So, you know, one thing they quoted was early studies of fertilization found inverse relationship between crop yield and mineral concentration. So it means the more yield they got,
mm-hmm,
less mineral per plant there seems to be.
So it's being diluted down.
Right.
Okay.
And for, you know, we're only buying one of those things. So we're not buying more broccoli just, mm-hmm, because they're diluting the minerals in there and making more.
Right.
We're just still buying the one as we would have, you know, 50, 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he notes that we've kind of known this. Davis notes that we kind of known this since the 1940s. That the yield increase produced by, you know, fertilization, irrigation, and some of the other the means that are used by industrial farmers tend to decrease the concentration of minerals in those plants. And, you know, at the end of the day, it gives us cheaper food, but also it decreases the nutrient content. And then the second thing that he used to kind of show this point was that there have been studies of historical food composition data.
Right.
And so what we look at is, okay, we knew what the mineral content of a food was back in 1950 or even, you know, 1925.
Mm-hmm.
What's the composition of the food today? And by looking at that, we're seeing, once again, same trend, less minerals, less nutrients in the food. Three of the recent studies that they quoted from or put together found that there were declines of 50 to 40% of some of the minerals in the groups of vegetables they studied, even some of the fruits. One of the studies also evaluated vitamins and protein with similar results.
Right.
So 5 to 40% decreases. You know, those are some pretty big numbers, and especially if you look at some of the foods that might be staple to our diet.
More common. Okay.
Yeah, and so like wheat, this is actually you know, one of the things they found in looking through the research as well is that six of the minerals have declined by 22 to 39% in 14 widely grown wheat varieties developed over the last 100 years, which actually this point really kind of is we're going to cover this in the next point as well, of like how are we changing the plant itself to actually have lower mineral contents but having greater yield. So that kind of covers that. And a more specific example was a study that looked at the calcium content of broccoli, you know, using the U.S. official USDA nutrient data. They found that in 1950, per gram, broccoli had about 12.9 milligrams of calcium.
Okay, that was 1950.
In 2003, they found 4.4 milligrams. So almost a third. Almost two thirds less. Calcium. That's huge. And broccoli would be a great source of calcium. You know, your greens, things like calcium. You know, so that's a significant blow to a really nutritious food. So fairly significant as far as the differences and what we see from, you know, back then to, you know, 50 years difference. But I think it really speaks to some of the things that are happening and how we're farming. Genetic dilution is the third reason they gave. And this is similar to the first one, but this has to do more with how we actually develop and sometimes genetically modify certain plants and seeds to give us greater yields. And so recent side-by-side plantings of low and high yield cultivars, which means that this seed is going to produce less and this seed's going to produce more, of broccoli and grains found consistently negative correlation between yield and concentration of minerals and protein.
Mm-hmm.
And so less nutrients when we really go after the high yield per plant. And so the decline in nutrient concentration that results when plant breeders develop high yielding varieties without primary focus on broad nutrients. So you're seeing this decline, and it overall kind of spills over. You know, this is the raw material. This is where we start at.
Right.
And so this is, as you go down the chain, where, you know, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about nutrient content changes in food when we process. But this is the start. You know, this is where it comes out of the ground. It seems to be changing right at this point. So fairly significant from what we found in a news standpoint, which was, it was kind of neat to explore. We don't want to get overwhelmed by this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we want to be aware. You know, if we're trying to make decisions, awareness is important. So
yeah. So again, the article was entitled Industrial Farming is giving us less nutritious food. And as Joe mentioned, the reason we mentioned it is so that you realize there are things upstream from actually eating the food that may be affecting how much nutrition you're getting. And ultimately, that does tie back to heart health or any other issues that you might be facing. So moving on to recent research, we want to highlight a discussion that actually went on with the American Heart Association in their annual meeting down in New Orleans. And the discussion actually, once it was published, was entitled, After Decades, Decreases in Heart Risk Factors Level Off.
Yeah, so I found this one in Medline Plus, my favorite RSS feed, I think. It's actually put out by the government, so they kind of compile all this information. And this one kind of struck me that, you know, we're making these progresses in cholesterol levels. We're making this progress in awareness of heart disease. So more people know about it. They know the dangers. You know, so it's not as surprising when we hear that people are having heart disease because we're more familiar with it now. But there seems to be something involved here that's making that trend level off and actually decrease as well. And so, you know, some confounding factors are being added in here that even though we're not really seeing an increase in cholesterol levels necessarily because we're seeing more and more of those go down. But what they're finding is that actually this new trend of increase in obesity in America is really clouding up the issue. and not making it easy for us to find out, okay, what's really going to help here and what's not. You know, it seems like we're making good strides here, but now all of a sudden those strides are being diminished. Why is that? And it seems to be that the authors of this are really contributing it to the obesity epidemic, and also you know, the causes of obesity, like suboptimal diet and lack of exercise. And so there seems to be a trend here that's being overwhelmed in some ways by this increase in obesity in America and increase in weight gain.
It almost seems like they're a little bit disappointed. Everyone from the American Heart Association, they get together and say, you know, we're doing a good thing here, but we might be sort of working against ourselves if we don't have proper diet and the end result is obesity. But I think all of these things in the research and in the news that we highlight today, they really tie back to our main topic, which gets into what are the benefits of cheaper food? What are the downsides of cheaper food? Does food processing actually make things more expensive or cheaper? These are the questions we're going to ask today. So I guess starting off, what are the benefits of cheaper food, or why are we looking into this? I
think yeah, and so what we're seeing from both sides is that usually when we get like these topics are brought up, they're brought up in very extreme ways, like, you know, this is killing you, or don't worry about it, and like, and even advertisement can kind of cloud some of that or muddy some of the waters there. So all these messages that are coming to us, either from, you know, people that are writing books and trying to get you to live a healthy lifestyle,
right,
or, you know, the food manufacturers and some of the images and some of the messages we're getting there, seem to kind of really go both ways and really extreme. We want to at least be a little more towards the middle and kind of break it down, because there's just a realistic standpoint we need to take here, because the truth is, we do need at times cheaper food. We do need food to be faster. And we've kind of covered some of this in the last podcast, the number two episode. And so, you know, look back at that and kind of get an idea for some of this. But we're going to go right into just really balancing this specific issue out, the cheaper food. So when you first hear that, who doesn't want it, right? You want cheaper food.
Yeah.
It just makes sense to, I think, anybody. You know, it would take a real extremist to say, well, we don't ever want food cheaper.
We don't
want to
pay more. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, that's true. And so one of the benefits, obviously, is that it costs less. You know, so when we're making our budget every month, if food can be cheaper, that's great. So mm-hmm. we can make it cost less, and that's a good thing. We can also give more people access to food if it's cheaper.
Right.
And then we can even send out food to other countries at a lesser rate for like the poor in Africa or a number of different things. So so we can help with those things overseas, and the cost is not prohibitive mm-hmm. for us being to be able to help.
Right.
So yeah,
those are benefits of cheaper food, surely.
Yeah, pretty clear. I mean, and most people are gonna, you know, this isn't something we really have to go into. Almost, it's like, yes,
yeah.
You know,
it's
like that
fairly
benefit.
Logical argument,
right?
But then there could be a downside.
Yeah. So
to
looking
those
at the other
benefits.
Side is really important at balancing this issue altogether. And so let's go into a little bit of that and just the downside of what it can mean when we're trying to achieve cheaper food. One thing is to make cheaper food, sometimes using specific ingredients over and over again and making food more uniform will actually make it easier to make it cheaper.
Right.
So, you know, like we see in, you know, we live in the Midwest here. You see corn grown everywhere. Every single field that's available either has corn or soybean in it. And we see those in our food. So we see a lot of ingredients of corn, soy, and wheat, and also refined sugar. So those four ingredients will be all over most things that you buy today. You almost have a hard time if you're allergic to one of these things. I worked in a health food store where people came in with allergies, food allergies. Like, I can't buy anything. They all contain corn. They all contain
soy. But this is done basically,
and
economies of scale. The more we can just use similar ingredients, the more we can be efficient and produce it at a lower and lower cost, even having to, you know, to scale it up to a wider and wider access or distribution.
Right. So, yeah, you can see that there's benefit in doing that. But at the same time, you talk to most health experts, they're going to tell you to eat a variety. They're going to tell you to continue
create
to include,
balance.
Yeah,
okay.
Create a balance, because that's going to make a balance in the amount of nutrients you get from a number of different sources. So if you eat a lot of one source, you're getting a lot of that one major nutrient. And this is before we even talk about processing and some of the nutrients lost and some of those type of things. This is just looking at, okay, from a food standpoint, eating a variety, health experts are in agreement. You just want to do that for better health. And besides that, you know, we're also looking at, you know, foods as well. If we put cheaper ingredients in them, then we can kind of dilute them in some ways and make them cheaper. But once again, as you can see, you're using almost like a filler. It's going to take away from the nutrient content, the nutrient density, I guess is a good word, density. Nutrient takes away from the nutrient density when I stick kind of a filler ingredient in there. It doesn't have a lot of nutrient content, doesn't really give us anything from a nutrient standpoint. You know, things like maltodextrin and cornstarch, and even sometimes they'll water something down and add a thickener and then an artificial flavor or a natural flavor to kind of make it to come together so it seems like it's what you normally would expect it to be. But at the end of the day, it's been diluted as far as nutrient content. And so, you know, uniformity, while it has some benefits to it, we also have to, once again, balance that out.
Yeah.
So another one we want to cover here is factory farming or industrial farming, which we kind of covered in the news. We got to see a little bit of how that can maybe affect nutrient levels right at the raw material. And then also there's, you know, there are other downsides to it too that people have heard about in the news. You know, just the fact that it's unsustainable to farm the way we're doing. We see that in like the sugar crops in the West Indies and some of the islands down there, and just how eventually they drain the soil so much that they just have to abandon it and say, hey, there's nothing left here. Let's just move on to the next field.
Yeah.
Well, you know, obviously that's not going to be sustainable over long periods of time. So farming in that way can have a downside. Also, it plays out in the way we raise animals as well. You know, so if we want to have it cheaper, it's cheaper to have a lot of animals in a smaller amount of space.
Right.
To do that, there's some downside, and especially the transmission of diseases. When you're in a tighter space like that, one cow gets it, they're all going to get it. So one practice that's generally being used today is to give antibiotics across the board in the feed,
and not just proximity, to keep it down, which is also an issue for disease, but also we're trying to speed up the growth process, not just on plants but also on animals, and that will have a side effect as well.
Right. Yeah. And what you end up with as well is you usually see that they're eating what it would be an unnatural for them diet.
Right.
So if I don't have a lot of grassland to let cows graze, I'm feeding them corn and soy in kind of a mass production way, but that's just not natural to them. It can actually lead them to having changes in their nutrient content and the food that we would actually eat when we
so again, the same uniformity coming up in both feed and in food production.
Right.
So that's interesting.
And you see, you know, there's other issues of cruelty to animals and even in some cases cruelty to people in this system that really has to be, we want to be aware of these things. Once again, in making these decisions, it's not easy enough to just say the immediacy of the decision should determine what I decide. And I think a lot of us get caught in that, is that we want to just, you know, this is the decision we make, second only in importance, I think, to breathing. You know, it's like we have to decide to eat every day. We have to decide to drink.
Sure.
And so most of us are caught by the immediacy of the issue. And if we don't have a foundation of how we think through the issue, we can run into some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know if you don't know what the issues are, it's pretty hard to say, well, is this right or wrong for me? And then on top of that, if we're making a decision when it, like you said, when it's really necessary, which oftentimes is emergency mode, then, you know, it just can't be a consideration at that point.
Right. And considering some of the things that really help us to plan ahead and say, okay, when I'm looking at choices I can make, at least I can try to make the better choice for health. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. There's different factors involved. There's, you know, the speed of food. There's the price of food, but there's also health. And so all of these are factors. They're all going to play a part. It's just percentage-wise, when I don't need to have it, you know, completely cheap, or, you know, is there an end to it, I guess, too? Like, when are we not willing to give up? Or when are we willing to pay a little bit more for food when it can give us a health return? And how do we balance those two things out? And I think that's an important thing to look at, because we can't just hide our head in the sand and say, well, price doesn't really determine how I look at food. Well, it does. And health also should. And so all these things, if we can balance those out, it's really good. And so I think one of the other issues that kind of comes out of this, it's kind of a byproduct of this is the fact that, you know, we have access to food all the time. Yeah. You know, so there's not really, you know, drought, and it, so that's a good thing, right? So it really helps us through that. But also in having access, I think it can lead to excess in some ways, especially when price is no longer an issue.
Sure.
And so I think a good example of that is maybe kind of thinking of, like, if I bought some honey and I bought some sugar. So let's mm-hmm. say I buy the honey at about $15 a pound.
Right.
Or even, yeah, not that's not that much. Maybe $7 a pound or something like that. Or and then I buy the sugar, refined sugar, at maybe $1 a pound. You know, you can see in a recipe, if I'm using it, I'm not going to think twice about using the sugar. So I will load up the sugar, whatever the recipe says.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like, that's, what is that, like 2 cents worth of sugar?
Right.
Sure. But if you're using something that's not, it's harder to get to, it's just
scarce,
more expensive.
Cost, yeah.
You're going to think twice. I mean, you're not going to use quite as much. So I think that kind of can play into some of our issues. When we talk about obesity, we talk about some of these things that are not catching us off guard, but they're really kind of shocking when we see why, you know, we don't understand why is this happening. Why as Americans are we gaining more weight? We don't really understand all of it, and I'm not going to pretend like we're going to answer that here. But
no,
you know, some of these factors may play into that as well. Like, how cheap can we get food before it actually becomes detrimental to our health?
So is it possible that food processing could actually make food more expensive? And I guess, how do we actually evaluate that?
Yeah, and so there's, you know, having cheap food really kind of plays into, I think, the next one we're going to cover, you know, convenient foods and faster food. So some of this kind of plays in together and gives us both, you know, in some of the methods we're using, it can actually make food cheaper, but then it can also make food faster. But at the end of the day, you know, if we look at those two separately, if we could take more time to prepare foods, and if we actually took more time to make our foods, it really wouldn't, it would look just the opposite. It would look like processed food is actually more expensive. So if I go to the store right now and buy some whole wheat berries, which is where we get wheat, like, you know, like winter wheat berries or red berries or whatever they're called. If you go to the store and get them for, you know, about 60 cents a pound, let's even say $1 a pound,
mm-hmm.
and you compare that to when the wheat has been processed in a mostly wheat product, like, let's say, a cereal, you know, I buy the box of cereal for like $3 for an 8 ounce, which means for a pound it's about $6 a pound. You know, $1 a pound, as opposed, you know, when I buy the wheat berries, as opposed to $6 a pound when I buy it processed in a cereal form, you can kind of see that there's a difference there. And the main difference is, you know, the time put in and process that, because you still have to process, in some ways, the food when you get it home and cook it.
Right.
So, you know, there's just some of the things we don't want to just say, well, it's cheaper. Well, it's not necessarily, but it is more convenient. You know, there's some convenience there too with it. And you know, there's other issues here when we do this uniformity thing, when we grow, you know, a certain number of crops, and we don't grow as much of the other crops, it
yeah.
actually can make the other crops more expensive. So if I do want to buy something that's not corn or wheat or
sure.
soy, because we don't grow as much, because, you know, the local farmland around me is not really growing lettuce or not really growing tomatoes, it can actually make that more expensive because it's not
as
much
abundance.
Farmers
want to
grow
what's going to make them money, and so that's going to drive supply down, and so therefore it's going to drive price up. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then, you know, we have food more and more is traveling from further distances. I mean, now we're getting food from across the ocean, which once again just adds more cost into something
yeah.
else. And so, you know, we want to balance that out and say, you know, where is the real cost at here, and is it really cheaper? So, you know, this is just one piece of discussion. It's meant to just give us some insight. It's just meant to give us something to think about. We're not trying to, like, once again, in this podcast, we're not going to try to give you an answer.
You can't fit it all in here.
Yeah, but
yeah.
there's things to think about, and so hopefully we kind of excite some thought process. And, you know, stick along with us. We're going to hopefully help you through some of the processes as you're making decisions on a day-to-day basis. And we want to bring some balance, you know, just to what you're hearing on a daily basis through advertisement. You know, all these things they don't spell out when they're advertising products to us. And so we advertise products too, and you know, there's just
yeah.
some of those things that at the end of the day, it's helpful to have some basis for why do we make decisions what we're making.
So we're trying to create a balance here. I think the main topic today really does highlight that. And, you know, I'll admit that you hear stuff like this. You hear the research that's out there that's linking obesity to, you know, sort of being taking a step backwards for heart health, the American Heart Association. You talk about the farming issues, and even the farmers themselves will say, you know, I fully acknowledge that, but I also need to make a living. So it's very convenient to sit here and raise these questions. And it's easy, I think, to get overwhelmed. I get a little overwhelmed with all this. But again, what we're trying to do is say, listen, we have to break this down frame by frame. Hopefully you stay tuned for the next podcast, talk about food processing, talk about, you know, what are we trading off here. And I think at the end of the day, with every, you know, 10 or so questions that we raise, we really do try to highlight some tactics. You know, last episode number 2, we highlighted, you know, how much food is in your food. You know, walking through the aisles, if that's all you ever ask yourself, if I'm, you know, purchasing processed food, and I look and say, how much food is in my food? I mean, that's a step in the right direction. The other thing is, today I think we've highlighted, am I considering value or just cost? And by value, I don't just mean, is this the best product versus another, but also, am I getting the right health benefits from this? So if you were just asking yourself those two questions, if you just only for now adopted those two tactics, I think it would be a step in the right direction. But in closing, Joe, I think what's the most important takeaway from this show for our listeners?
Yeah, I think that, you know, while we value certain things like something that if it's cheaper or we want something to move in a certain direction, like we'd like to see our food continue to get cheaper, we want it also at the same time, think about the trade-off. Think about what else can be going on in this equation that I'm not getting exposed to, that I'm not thinking about, and just how can I make a better variety. I think one of those other things you can look at too is just, am I, like, let me evaluate the food I ate today and how much of it was just four different ingredients mixed up in different ways. You know, are we really getting variety to really affect our health positively?
Well, that's great. Thanks for joining us today. And Joe, thanks for preparing this outline. It's a really interesting discussion. Hopefully it inspires more discussion offline. Thanks for joining us at oathealth.com, Heart Health Podcast. That's our show, episode number 3. Remember, resources for today are online at www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.